Scotland, just thanking God for the miracle of Southside Free Baptist Church. And I thank you, dear folks that are members and who attend this local assembly and visitors alike. We just count it a joy to be here with you. We thank God for you. We thank God for what He's doing in your life and how He's strengthening you and meeting the needs of your family, growing you in grace. And we thank God for you. And we also just want to thank God for the Shore family. I know that you're aware of this church. I'm sure of it. But the Lord has blessed you with a sweet, dear family that loves Jesus Christ. Yeah. And they are dedicated to Him and His glory, and they love you. And I sense that every time I'm around Ben and Katie. It's just their love for Scotland, their love for souls, their love for the people here, their love for their church here in Longhead, and just their love for the Lord Jesus. It is a blessing to be here. You know, we came in from the States. It was, Thursday. I'm not sure. It's maybe Thursday morning. It's hard to, all the things got to blur together right now. But with jet lag and all of the things that go along with that, we hit the ground and we just felt so welcomed. And not just by the Shore family, but the members of the church, and not only the members of the church, but the community. Mm-hmm. You know, when they hear my accent and they know this guy's not from around here. But you know what? You go to some places and they pick up on the foreign accent. They become rude and maybe just indifferent. But that has not been the case. The people of this community have been genuinely receptive, welcoming, kind and gracious. And I just thank God for that. So you will have to excuse the accent, not only the American accent, but then the Southern accent, from Georgia. I'll share briefly here before we dive into the message. You know, I thank God for His amazing grace. I did not become a Christian until I was 21 years old. I was in the United States Coast Guard, and I grew up when I came to know Christ, but before then, I did grow up in a nominal Christian home. We went to church, Christmas and Easter, certain special holidays, and I remember hearing about Jesus dying on the cross and Him rising again the third day, but I had never personalized that truth. Mm-hmm. And when I joined the military, by that time, I graduated high school and was with the wrong crowd, just trying to find peace and pleasure in all the wrong places. I was coming up empty every time. And during that time, a couple of my shipmates, Alex and Arthur, shared the gospel with me. They shared the Word of God with me. And at that time, I was at a point in my life where I was just frustrated. I was searching, and to be honest with you, it got a little bit comical. I tell the church this, I actually went to the doctor because during that time when the Holy Spirit was drawing me to Jesus, I sensed that something strange was happening in my life. And I could not figure out what it was. And so I thought it was a medical problem. I thought it was something to do with my heart, my physical heart. But it had nothing to do with my physical heart. It was my spiritual heart. I was empty. And through their testimony and their inviting me to church and me seeing Christ in them, it was during that time at the age of 21 that I realized I needed to be born again. I needed to put my faith in what Jesus did on the cross and rising again the third day. And during that time, at the age of 21, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And my life has never been the same. It truly has never been the same. Now, I will say I have failed the Lord many times. I have failed the Lord many times, but He has never failed me.
Right.
He is faithful. He is a gracious and wonderful Lord, and I just want to give Him all the praise for how good He is. Well, let's dive into the Word of God here. 2 Kings chapter 4, as Pastor has read the passage, and I appreciate you doing that, Pastor. I like that. We may implement that practice at Crooked Creek. It gives me opportunity just to dive right into the message. And you've been here today. Be ready to start reading some words, some of the words as we get back to the States. But, you know, what a fascinating passage of Scripture when it comes to the miraculous power of God. And by the way, I love the way God orchestrates even the song service to go with the message. Did you notice that? I believe in miracles. Brother Ben and I did not coordinate that. But today I believe that we need to realize that God is still doing miracles. Right. He's changing our lives. Even after we become Christians, which is the greatest miracle ever. People say one of the greatest miracles is creation. God spoke the world into existence. I admit that is an amazing miracle of God. But I want to tell you, it does not compare with the miracle of saving a sinner like me. Because when he started in the beginning, he started with nothing. He spoke nothing into something. But when he came to Brinson, I was already something that was really messed up. And I needed the miraculous power of God's redemption, of His reconciliation. And He did that through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Miracles. God is still performing miracles. And right here in this passage, we see a miracle take place with the Shunammite woman. Now, let's look at several things here in just a moment about this woman that I think we can draw from this morning as we think upon what God desires to do in our life. But notice with me, first of all, as we think upon the term great, what does that mean to you? To be great. Someone say, oh, he's a great person. That's a great woman. That is a great man. Or sometimes you hear the word just wonderful person, wonderful man. You have these different adjectives. Well, this woman, by the Word of God, is given the title of a great woman. I didn't give her that title. God has given her this title. And we find that there in verse 8 in your Bible, it says that there was a great woman. And let me begin by just describing to you what the Bible says is great. Well, to be great, from God's point of view, is to be small. Now, that's a paradox, right? Well, let's say, first of all, that in the Bible, it's filled with paradoxes. We have many of them, in fact. Webster's dictionary defines a paradox as a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, and yet is perhaps true. Well, that's Webster's definition, but I want to tell you, the Bible does declare many paradoxes, but here's the thing. They are true. They are absolutely accurate. And it's teaching us the mind of God and how He views this world and how He seeks for us to know Him. Henry Clay Trumbull said this, "The law of the Christian life is a paradox. It is made up of seeming contradictions. All its teachings are contrary to the common opinions of man." For instance, the Bible talks about that if you hoard a lot and try to build your own kingdom, the Bible says it leads to poverty. The Bible says in order to live, you must die. The Bible talks about in order to save your life, you must lose your life. The Bible talks about, and as we heard in Christian's testimony, in order to be wise, you have to become as fools. In order to be exalted, the Bible says, you must be willing first to humble yourself. And the Bible says, in order to be first, you must first be last. The Bible talks about, in order to be strong, you must first be weak. The Bible tells us that in order to be great, we must be small. And this Shunammite woman certainly exemplified greatness by some specific characteristics that I would like for us to take a look at this morning. And I believe will help us to understand how God does want us to be great people. He wants you to be a great man, a great woman, a great boy, a great girl. Just put your name there. You as a person, God desires for us to be greatly used by His grace, by His mercy, and ultimately for His glory. And that is what we see here. Notice with me several ways that she exemplifies greatness. Number one, if you're taking notes, would you notice she exemplifies greatness by her hospitality? Verses 8 through 11, here we have the account of this woman having a heart for the man of God, who in this case was Elisha. Elisha was a great prophet of Israel. He was one that lived in a time very similar to ours in many ways. It was a time where there was rampant paganism, idolatry. Just even the people of Israel had turned from God. And here's this prophet that did have some people that cared for him and loved him. And this precious lady cared enough about this preacher that she decided that they were going to build a special room for him. What a blessing. And we notice her hospitality. By the way, the hospitality of the Shores and of Southside Free Baptist Church has been amazing. We realize the miracle of this building. We realize what this building used to be and what God has repurposed this building for His glory. And it's been a joy to be here. My son and I are staying right over here in this room right behind me. Such a lovely room. Very comfortable. And we thank God for that. Thank you for your hospitality. This lady here, she showed forth that. How did she show that? Well, number one, she was purposeful. Notice here, she seized the opportunity to be a blessing. It says that as she constrained him to eat bread. In other words, she said, hey, I want you to get something to eat. She cared about him. And I want to tell you, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. In so many ways. And by the way, I've eaten some of the best food in my life since being here. I will never be the same after eating a meat pie. That was so good. I'm going to go back and say, tell my wife, honey, you've got to get the recipe. All right, you've got to work on that. It is so good. We've had shepherd's pie that was so good, and we've had some desserts that were just amazing. And I'm thankful, and I know I'm going to gain 5 to 10 pounds while here. And so I'm going to have to do a lot of exercise when I get back. But that's the way this lady was. And by the way, as a person in your home, in your life, how hospitable are you? Do you seek to go out of your way just to be a blessing? Even in the small things, a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, He will not forget. The little things in life, going just out of your way to help someone feel welcomed and encouraged. That's what she did. She was resourceful. She used the resources to be a blessing. That's part of hospitality. What has God blessed you with? So that you can turn around and use it to bless someone else. That's God's purpose. God gives to us that He might give through us. And she, and certainly was that way. They made an addition to their home for the purpose of being a blessing to this man of God, to this preacher, Elisha. Not only that, but she was insistent. She constrained. You know, I know here in Scotland there's probably something similar to this. But in the States, we will make the comment, and I'm saying most of the time I think it's genuine, but sometimes we'll make the comment like this: if you ever need anything, let me know. Now, that's a good statement, but really, what is even better is to be there for that person without them letting you know. Just show up. Just give something. Just to give an encouragement. Something that, a tangible way, without saying, listen, do you need anything? And that's a good statement. I'm not being critical of that statement, but what the truth of the matter is we ought to go out of our way as God's people to try to be a blessing. What about your neighbor? The one that lives on your street, your neighbor. Have you extended some form of hospitality? Something to help them and encourage them? Anything. God will use that in a very special way. But not only was her hospitality insistent, but notice it was reoccurring. It was reoccurring. We noticed there that it says, as oft as she is the man of God comes, that's what she wanted to do, to be a blessing. We see that this woman was great, first of all, because of her hospitality. But number two, would you notice with me, if you're taking notes, the second point is because of her humility. Her humility. Now, because of her being a blessing to Elisha, Elisha wanted to bless her. By the way, it's interesting how that works, is it not? When someone blesses you, it should give you the urge or the want to be a blessing back. Not that you're trying to pay for their blessing, but you're just like, man, they really blessed me. And boy, I just want to do something to bless them back. And that is something to be said about that. But her humility, in verse 12, notice it says, and in verse 11, it says, and it fell on that day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. So he's profiting from her hospitality. Okay, what does he do? He says to his servant Gehazi, he says, call the Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, now say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. In other words, you have blessed us. You have encouraged us. What is to be done for thee? Elisha wanted to be a blessing. Notice her response. After he says, wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? No, she didn't want that. That was commendable, what the prophet was offering here and asking her. But notice what it says. And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. You know what that means? I'm just like everybody here. I don't need anything special. I live among my own people. I'm not looking for the accolades. I'm not looking for the applause of men. I'm just trying to live my life for the Lord and be a blessing. But he insists. Notice verse 13. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, verse 14. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. He said, about this season, according to the time of a life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she's going to respond here. Notice what she says as he tells her she's going to have a son. And it says, and she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. You ever been in this situation where something so good looks like it was happening, or somebody is giving you some news or a statement that was so good and powerful that basically you said, don't joke with me. Don't kid with me. Listen, all joking aside, now, you know, some of us may say, stop playing with me. Don't mess around. Is this serious? I mean, if you're talking about me having a child, is this really for real? Is this going to be a reality? And of course, he meant every word of what he was saying. This man was in touch with the Lord. By the way, every promise of God is something that we can absolutely and truly depend upon. We don't have to wonder, now, did God really mean what he said? When he told us that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. We're going to see here in just a moment that we're going to see her faith. And the famous preacher from Scotland, which, by the way, I want to say, just because I have the opportunity, I didn't know that I would ever have this opportunity to stand before the people of Scotland in a church in Scotland, is that America has greatly, greatly benefited from the preachers that grew up in this country, who learned the Word of God, studied the Word of God, have written tremendous theological books and books about dedication and Christian living and prayer. Robert Murray McShane and others. I think of also Horatius Bonar and Andrew Bonar and Thomas Chalmers. These men and others and women of God have greatly impacted America. And I'm indebted to them. I'm thankful for them. But as we see here, this lady, she had a lot of humility, recognized that, look, I dwell among my own people. You know, one of the things that I have noticed in my life, and it has always been a hindrance to my Christian growth, my sanctification. That is, when I as a believer have an entitlement mentality. In other words, God, you owe me. That's not her spirit at all. God doesn't owe me a thing. He gave his precious blood on my behalf. He didn't have to do that, but he wanted to do that. God doesn't owe me a thing. And this lady had that spirit. She's like, look, you don't owe me anything. I'm just trying to be a blessing. And I'm telling you, when you and I live that way, you're going to see greatness in your life. God is going to use you greatly. Because you in your mind are not looking because somebody owes you something. And by the way, we can be very guilty of this. And I'm preaching to me right now. Do you know that we as believers can be guilty of reciprocal giving? Do you know what I mean by that? Many times, we give expecting something in return. And we can do it as ministers. We have a food bank or a food pantry for the community. And we say, come, we would like to bless you with some food, which is good. But you know, if we're not careful as Christians, we will say, there's a stipulation there. Hey, you come get food, we expect you to come to our church. That's not right. We expect you to write us a thank you note. That's not right. Now, if they come to the church as a result of seeing Christian love, praise God. That is a way that we can be a testimony. But we got to be careful as Christians. Let's not do things for people just so that we can get back in return. Husbands do it to wives. Wives do it to husbands. Children do it towards parents and vice versa. We do these things in order for somebody to do something back. But in all honesty, what we do for the glory of God. We want to be a blessing. We just want to be an encouragement. But notice with me, my last point here is not only her hospitality and her humility, but verses 18 through 37, notice her piety. Notice just her heart for God. She was genuine in her faith. Verses 18, I'm not going to take time to read all that, but she was blessed and was given a child. The woman conceived and bare a son. And at the time that Elisha had said unto her, and it was according to the time of life. It was according to God's plan. But verse 18, the child got older, and it fell a day that the child got sick. In verse 19, it describes this young person. We don't know how old this lad was. I mean, he could have been as the age of my son, who's 9 years old, or he could have been a little older, preteens perhaps. We don't know the exact age. But nevertheless, he was old enough to be out in the fields. And he was old enough to be out working and helping. But he had a headache. And he complained to his father, my head. And as the story tells, we see that that resulted in the death of this young man, this boy. Notice with me her response. It says, and when he had been brought in, and the boy was laying on his mother's lap, he passed. He died, the Bible says. And what did she do? Well, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. I want us to notice, number one, under her piety, let's truly note this woman's care for her son. Now, what we also realize is right away that she did not curse God. She did not call out and blaspheme God, like, how could you allow this to happen to me? Now, she's going to again come to the man of God here in a little bit. She's definitely going to be firm with him, but it's going to be in the right spirit. But I do not see bitterness here. And I may be talking to someone here today, honestly. God brought something into your life, and it hurt badly. And maybe it still stings. But what I would encourage you to do, and lower yourself before the God who is always good and trust Him with that hurt. Allow Him to bring healing to your heart from that hurt. It could have been something someone did to you, something that you actually went through as an experience. But I want to tell you, God's going to use you greatly, but it will not be while harboring any type of bitterness, any type of resentment, any type of wrath that is kept up within you. It will cause you much trouble. And you will not be used of the Lord. But if you want to be used greatly, you're going to allow God to have His way in your life. Her care. She went and laid her son. Now, why on the bed of the man of God? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is that that's number one, that is a safe place. It's a secure place. And get this, it's a place where she knows in her heart and mind, it is where the man of God has prayed. A place that was anointed, I believe, a place that had been blessed of God. And she knew that if she could get the man of God back there, that's where this boy could be helped. Let that be a reminder to you and me. Hey, we need to get where God is. That's where the truth is. I can try to go through life and look for all these other areas, but where I know God is, I know that I'm going to find Him in His Word. I'm going to find Him in His church. I'm going to find Him in His people. I'm going to find God. And that's where I need to go in order to find the healing from the hurts in my life. But not only her care, but notice her faith. And if there's anything that I can leave with you this morning, let's talk about her faith. Notice in verse 21,
And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And before she left out, this was a token of her believing that God was going to deliver her son. And I just want to stop right here and say, look, whatever you are going through, whatever you are facing this morning, I want to tell you, God is going to deliver you. You may not see it. I like what Robert Murray McShane, another writer, I love his quote on this. He says this, God will either give you what you ask or something better. Let that settle. God will give you what you ask. He will either give you what you ask or something better. Because God is infinite. He is transcendent. But yet He is super personal and immanent. And He knows exactly what we have need of this hour, tomorrow, and any day of our life. We trust Him with our care. We trust Him with our hurt. We trust Him with our life. And we say, God, I'm coming to You and I'm going to look to You. She left Him with the Lord. And I tell you, God's going to bless her for that. That's why she was a great woman. But not only her faith, but notice with me, under her piety, her pursuit of God. Verses 22 through 25, I'm not going to take time to read that, but that gives the account of the pursuit. This woman's called out to the field to her husband, says, dearie, what are some Scottish names for the spouse? Is it, what are some, help me out.
Bible names?
Yeah, well, just endearment names. What is that? Honey, we say honey. Dear. Come on now, put Pastor on the spot here. He's
yeah, could you call each other love? Yeah.
Love. Yes. Love. Send one of the servants. I'm going myself. She called after her husband. Get the servant. Get the donkey ready. I'm going to find the preacher. I'm going to find the man of God who gave us this promise, who's the one that prayed for us and a miracle was performed, because you're way too old to be a daddy, that God blessed and helped and allowed us to do this, and now I'm going to find him again. And that's what she did. She pursued him. I'm going to make this statement. Please, let's all be reminded of this. She did, going through a tragic situation of a precious child dying in her lap, she did not run from God. She ran to God. That's what we do. When trials come and hurt comes, when the devil is seeking to crash us and destroy us, that's not a time to turn and run from God. It's time to even pick up the pursuit, to make it more intense, and to go after him. And that's exactly what she did. She got so intense, and I can kind of envision that. My wife, Joanna, I love her. She's my best friend. I wish she could have been here. I wish she could have met her. Hopefully we'll come back. But she is 7 months pregnant. And the baby is due in December. But she is an intense woman. And so I have an idea of this mother was so intense. She's like, I'm going to get him. And she called for the servant and the donkey and told the servant, don't stop until we get there. May God give us that kind of spirit. Lord, we're not going to stop. This morning in our devotions as a group, we happen to read Genesis chapter 32. And as Jacob, you remember the account of Jacob wrestled with God? which I believe is a pre-incarnate Christ. I believe that there was a wrestling going on, a spiritual battle in Jacob's heart, and God was teaching him something. But Jacob said, look, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. That's the heartbeat of the child of God, friend. We got to be so insistent. We have to be so intense in our pursuit of God that we say, God, I'm not giving up. I believe you. I trust you. I know you're doing a work in my life, and I am not giving up. That was the spirit of this woman. Andrew Bonar said, God's part is to put forth power, and it's our part to put forth faith. It is the Lord that brings the power. And that's what this lady did. Notice in verse 26, and I'm coming to a close here. Verse 26, she says, "Run now, and I pray thee to meet her, and say unto her," this is the Elisha speaking to the woman. She has been seen, she has been identified, and the prophet is going to approach her and to see what is going on in her life. And notice what her response is when the servant asks, "Is it well with thee? What is, and is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" And you ought to underline this at the end of verse 26. Notice what it says. And she answered what? "It's well." Now, was she just being polite, courteous, respectful? Well, I'm sure there was some of that involved. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you what. I believe this lady right here was great because she had a great faith in God. She had a peace in her heart that this man was going to be able to help her. And I want to encourage you today, things may be raging and are going to, but I want you to know any child of God has the authority to say at any time of life, "It is well. It is well. Yes, yes, I've been knocked down. Yes, it's tough right now. Yes, there's a lot of things. I don't know why they're happening the way they are. Yes, but I want to tell you deep down inside, because of Jesus Christ, it is well with my soul." And I wonder if you're here today, perhaps you're not a believer, but you're searching for peace. Peace with God. And the Bible says that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not a believer here, the first step you need to make in order to be well with your soul is to put your faith in Christ, what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. You can do that today. And my next question is for believers here. Can you say, "It is well with my soul"? That is for the believer to have. Even Paul says in Philippians, "Be anxious for nothing. Be not full of care for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." This woman is coming to the man of God with a request. She is coming with a request. "My son has died. The one you promised that God would bless me with." She gave a request, and the Bible says in Philippians, and when God's people do that, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." It goes way over my head, folks. It goes beyond my finite mind. But when I let that at the feet of Jesus and let Him take it, there's a peace that just will flood my soul and will flood yours. Nothing can replace that. There's no drug. There is no bottle. There's no drink. There is nothing that can give a person this peace. It's only in Him. Notice not only her peace, but her relentlessness. She caught Him by the feet. Her soul was vexed, but she says, "I'm not leaving here." But then notice her patience. She waited on the answer. She stands by as the miracle takes place in verses 31 through 35 as He comes. Notice what takes place. She stands by as the miracle takes place. The miracle of resuscitation here. He is resuscitated. And notice what happens when she sees the miracle of God, of her son raised up by the mighty power of God. This prophet comes and lays himself upon this boy, gives him life. That is the hand of God. That is symbolic of miraculous power. Elisha couldn't get glory for this. It was only God. And notice her response in verse 37. And I'll close. It says, "Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground,
took up her son and went out. Now, I like to use my imagination, my sanctified imagination, but folks, can you imagine with me the conversation that took place after this event? Walking out of that room. Mom, that was awesome. That was incredible. Honey, you don't know the half of it, what Mom and Papa said. You don't know the half of it. I'm just here to encourage you today, to give you a word. I'm telling you right now, she stood by as the miracle took place. The prophet went in there behind the closed door. And right now, you may be on the other side of the door. You don't see all what God is doing on the other side in that room. But I want to tell you right now, friend, on the authority of the Word of God, you can be assured there's a miracle taking place. There is a miracle taking place. And for that, we give Him the praise. This woman was not of the royal lineage. She was not of the royal family. The Bible says nothing about her bank account, of her being extremely wealthy. The Bible doesn't say about her education and what degree she had. The Bible doesn't say whether or not she was extremely popular with the community. The Bible doesn't declare any of those things. But what it does declare is the fact that she was hospitable, she was humble, and she had a genuine faith in God. And I want to tell you the good news about that today, friend. There's everyone in this room can do exactly that. Mm-hmm. Young to the youngest to the oldest, we all can do that. Let's do it for the glory of God, shall we? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would bless now and God, the following invitation times, Pastor comes, I just pray that you would, Holy Spirit, have your will and way. Oh God, if there be anybody here today that's just uncertain about where they're going when they die, please, Holy Spirit, show them that they can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Help those believers that are here, that are just in a tough spot in life, or God, just in a mysterious time in their life, may they look to you. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name.